Our text this morning comes from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, reading in the 41st chapter. The people have been carried off into exile. Not all of them, some have been left behind, but most of the people have been taken away from their homes and their places of worship and business and are starting their lives over again in a foreign land and under a foreign rule. And this is the word that comes from the prophet Isaiah to the people. I, the Lord, am first and will be the last. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble and they have drawn near and come. Each one helps the other, saying to the other, take courage. The artisan encourages the goldsmith. The one who smooths with the hammer encourages the one who strikes the anvil, saying of the solderer, it is good. And they fasten it with nails so it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with a victorious right hand. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Great and loving God, be present with us now as we seek to hear these words anew. To be your people and the world, and to remember that you are the one we trust. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a little bit of background. First Isaiah, or the first part of Isaiah, the prophet is speaking to the people before they've been driven into exile. He's telling them if they do not get their lives right, if they don't stop oppressing the widows and the poor and the orphaned, things are not going to go well for you. And unfortunately, as people are wont to do with the prophets, they kind of ignore them. You know, they pay no attention, you know, and then it happens. And in Isaiah, God is the controller of all history. So when they are forced into exile, though they imagine God has forsaken them, in fact, according to the prophet, God is doing this so that they might remember God and learn from their mistakes and be prepared to be the people of God again. Now, this section that we're into now is what they call today 2nd Isaiah. So it's not the same prophet, though it may be a prophet in the same school or with some of the same language, but this is the prophet that's been carried off with the people. And you can only imagine, after the people have been in exile for a while, they're starting to wonder, where is their God? Has God forsaken them? Is their God not as powerful as the gods of the Babylonians, which are all about them? And so they begin to question. And of course, the prophet says to them, pay attention. Your God is with you. And he shares it in the form of this story about God in a trial in which God is kind of facing all the other gods. Okay? To prove who is more powerful, more real, more present to them. Only it's not really much of a trial because there really aren't any good witnesses for those other gods. But there are many, including the prophet, that is a witness for our God and the good things that our God has done on the behalf of the people throughout history. So God is saying to them, look, you know who I am, and you know what I have done for you. And of course, the exiles found great comfort in the story of the Exodus, because of course they were people in a foreign land who were being oppressed by powers and surrounded by gods that did not belong to them. And God brings to mind these stories about how I brought you up out of Egypt, Jacob, right? And how I remembered Abraham and gathered Abraham and all the people together in a place of promise. So God's answer to the question of where are you? Are you there? Are you with us? Is to say, remember. Remember how I've been with you throughout your life, throughout your history. Remember how I've saved you in the past. So this week, I don't know about you, felt like another heavy week. I had lunch with some of my colleagues, and they admitted to one another that it's hard to stand up in front of church after another violent shooting. We don't know what more to say. Our thoughts and prayers don't seem to be enough to stop this craziness in our country and in our worlds, right? And yet I hear the prophet saying to me, remember, remember how I saved you. Remember how I gathered you together. Remember how I brought you out from Egypt. And of course, this week we will be laying to rest a beloved member of our church and friend and family member. And you know, and again, I say, oh God, where are you? It feels like this church can't take much more. I don't know, are you all feeling that way a little bit? Yeah. And then on top of all of that, it's stewardship season, and I have to get you to give to the church a little bit more money. And I say, God, where are you in all of this? And I hear the prophet's words say to me, remember. Remember how God has been with you all along. Remember how God has been for you and has saved you and has lifted you in the past. We had the opportunity, Cheryl and I, to go have communion at Beacon Hill with some of our friends there. Dick was so nice to host us. And we were talking about some of the challenges before our church, some of the losses we've experienced recently, and this desire for a children and family in our community, and the challenge that that is now to not just this church, but any church, and then the finances that are required to keep our ministries going. And the first thing Ginny said was, boy, I'll pray for you. Actually, I think that was after we talked about your leaving too. She says, well, I'll pray for you. And I thought, thank you. I could use that. But then Ginny Harmon said to us, well, we've been through ups and downs before. We've been through hard times and challenges before, and we come through it. And I think we come through it for two reasons. First and foremost, because we trust God. We trust the God who has brought us through those previous times to bring us through even this time of transition and a little bit of chaos and a bit of grief. God will bring us through. That's what God does, right? That's who our God is, one who gathers us and redeems us, who saves us and provides what we need to go forward. But the other piece of it is, I think, that we have each other. God has gathered this community of people together to be about some important ministry in this community. And each one of you, the gifts and the resources that you bring are necessary for the work that we've been called to do. Now, the good news is we do not have to do it by ourselves. We have each other. But more importantly, we have a God that's empowering us with life and energy and inspiration and gifts and resources. Are you feeling any better? We have a God who does not forget us. So besides remembering, which is what we're called to do by the prophet, we're also called to be witnesses to this God we know. Not some strange God, not some idol God, but a God we know personally and as a community, a God who has brought us through things in the past, who will bring us through things even now. A God who is at the beginning and at the end and everywhere in between. Does that sound good to you? Yeah. Now, that does not mean that we do not go through mountains and valleys and mountains and valleys. And as you were singing that, I was thinking to myself, are we in a valley or are we at the mountain? Are we up, going up the mountain, or are we coming down the mountain? It doesn't really matter. Depending on your own personal life, you could be at a different place than someone else in the congregation. And some would suggest as a congregation that we are coming down into the valley. And others might suggest we're crawling up to the top of the hill. The good news is God was with us wherever we are on that journey, right? God is lifting us and carrying us when we're crawling up the mountain. God is holding us fast when we seem to be sliding down the other side. God is present with us in those lovely valleys, and God is certainly there when we get to the mountaintop, right? So even as I'm feeling somewhat overwhelmed a little bit from time to time about what's going on out in the world, what we have to be about as a church, I'm also feeling encouraged by the words of the prophet that said, "Do not be afraid." Now, we've heard that before, right? Whenever God says, "Do not be afraid," or the messenger of God says, "Do not be afraid," it's because there's reasons to be afraid. And we all feel a little of it, right? We all feel a little bit of the fear that's kind of surrounding us these days. Even coming to the church doesn't seem safe anymore. And yet, the prophet says to us, "Do not be afraid, for you can trust this God, because this is the God who has been with you all along. And this is the God who will carry you into the future. No matter where we are, ups, downs, easy times, challenges. We've got some big things ahead of us as a church. We've got Grace Cafe. I don't want to downplay that. We're having a whole lot of people come in and eat with us, and that's a big deal, and it'll take everybody's effort to make that come off in a way that feeds and nourishes and encourages people in our community. We have the PADS program. We're just into it. What are we, second or third, fourth week already, and yet we've got many, many more to go. Increasing numbers of people as the weather gets colder. That's a big task that we do in this community. That's an important piece that God has put us here to be a part of. And it takes all of our energy and all of our resources each week to make sure that comes off. More energy from Diana and some of our volunteers, but she depends upon the support of all of us, right? We're in this transition time where we're looking at new leadership coming. We have to say goodbye to Diane, and I can only tell you how much anxiety that's creating in my life right at the moment. And she knows it. But we're also looking at some new people to come on board and bring some new energy and some new ideas and to stir you up in ways that perhaps you haven't been stirred in a while. But again, not without your assistance and your resources, not without your commitment, not only to this mission and ministry, but to what God is doing through us for others. This is the stewardship sermon, right? Pastors don't like to do stewardship sermons. And I was having a hard time at first when I read this text trying to figure out how do I connect this to our stewardship. But ultimately, stewardship is about trusting God. Ultimately, stewardship is about trusting a God who provides all that we need, who is present with us in all that we do, and who just calls us to take part, to be participants, and sometimes leaders, and sometimes storytellers, and sometimes witnesses, and sometimes servers. but not alone, with one another. So these people in exile who are wondering where their God is, their God says, I am here. Do not be afraid. I am with you and have been with you and will be with you wherever we go. Trust me. And when we trust God, then we have some incredible and important work to be about. Amen? All right.